You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Jesus brought us from the deadness of our sin to fullness of life in Him. Go deeper into this truth in week 3 of our series on soteriology.
Good morning, everyone. Today we are on the third week of our series called The Great Exchange. We're basically looking at our salvation as God's people, as God's children, as Christians. So you appreciate the joy of your salvation. Every single day you wake up, you thank God that you're saved. And then you're praying for your relatives, your friends, family members to also get to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what we're talking about here, this series. We are specifically on the book of Ephesians, and this is what we have been looking into. Today, we are on the third week, and I tell you what, this is one of the most important chapters in the Bible. In fact, one of my favorite. Many of you have encountered these specific verses on your one-to-one. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10, specifically verses 8 to 10. So today we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 2 to 10. May I say, Chauvin's farewell, long have read the entire book of Ephesians. Like what we said, if you look at the book of Ephesians, it's like divided into two compartments or two parts. The first one is doctrinal teaching, and the second one is application. And that is what we do as Christians, right? We don't just come here every single Sunday and we become recipients of God's word. But what is important is the flip side of the coin, which is for us to apply it in our lives. And that is what we're looking into here. Let me just read this for everyone. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. It says here, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath." In verse 4 it says here, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast." Let's look into this for a while. At least you just give us a brief background or a grip into Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. The entire notion that I want us to understand is that when Paul was writing this, you would see the pattern. If you read the epistles of Paul, not just the book of Ephesians, you read Galatians, Romans, Colossians. Anyone here, you've memorized the New Testament books? You can memorize that through a song. Now, the picture is basically like this. There's always a form of persecution. It's always a message about poverty and God's grace. So what I'm trying to make us understand here as we start talking about Ephesians chapter 2 is this one. The situation of Paul was, he was in chains, but he was in Christ. You know what? That may look simple, but that makes a big difference. He was in chains. What does it mean? Physically, he was bound. Physically, he was in shackles. But in terms of his emotions, in terms of his joy, in terms of the peace that he has in him, he is in Christ. Now, a lot of us, maybe now or before you became a Christian, you were physically free, but you are chained when it comes to your emotion or your spirituality. Are folks getting this? So it makes a big difference if we have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because at the end of the day, all of us here today, together with the people out there, we will encounter the same things. I mean, let me tell you this, your problems are not unique to you. If you're here and you're suicidal because you feel like pasan mo yung buong mundo, guess what? Your problems are not unique to you. What makes a difference is our response now that we are Christians. You may be in chains in terms of your finance. You may be in chains in terms of your relationship, but who cares? We are in Christ. And because we are in Christ, we can always have hope. Amen. So that is basically the context at which Paul was coming from. So allow me to just make a brief exposition of this verse that we have looked into. Of course, we don't have time to cover everything, but let me just look at verse 1 for a while. It says here, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins." Now, if you're with us last Sunday, you can understand that it was Jesus was our Goel. You folks remember that? Meaning to say, Jesus was our Savior. He is our Redeemer. He has redeemed us. He paid the ransom through His very own blood. And I tell you what, whenever I hear messages like that, it makes me excited. Why? Because that is good news. And when you love roller coaster, it makes you excited. But guess what? Right when Paul starts, after giving that great news, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, starts plunging down. Now it tells us, okay, Jesus is our God, but guess what? It says here, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins." So it's kind of like, if I will categorize our preaching here today, you're going to see the pattern. First, we're going to talk about the bad news. Second, of course, we're going to talk about the good news. And third, we're going to talk about the fake news, which is very evident in our generation right now. Let's start with the first one. It says here, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sin." Let me talk about to whom Paul is addressing this. Of course, his context is, or his audience here, were the Ephesians. But I want us to understand that this thing doesn't just apply to the church in Ephesus, but this "you" here is both universal and personal. What does it mean? The word "you" here refers to the people in Kazakhstan. The word "you" here refers to the people in Bhutan. The word "you" here refers to the people in Mongolia, in China, in the United States, in Great Britain, in Australia, and all Filipinos in all speaking different dialects and languages. So it is universal in its scope, meaning to say, "you" here refers to everyone. Everybody say everyone. So it is universal in its scope, both the irreligious and the religious. But at the same time, when you start reading this, whenever you hear the word "you," it always pertains to you. So it is both universal and personal. Here's what it says here. "And all of us here, we, you," it says here, "and you were" what? "Dead." Mukha bang dead yung katabi mo, or amoy dead? Here's what Paul says. "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins." Now, if you come to think of it, it says us being dead in the past tense. You know, of course, it's pertaining to the Christians in Ephesus. So, if you would like to at least categorize that, whether you are a Christian or not Christian, so you can actually replace that "where" with "are." "And you are dead." So, meaning to say, if you have not been regenerated, if you have not been birthed again in the Spirit, then your current condition is you are dead. Lifeless. Don't worry, we're going to explain that for a while. Anyone of you here who loves swimming? Anyone here can honestly say that you can't swim? You're the first person who's going to drown when something capsizes. I had an experience when I was younger. I have two older brothers. I'm the youngest, at least when it comes to the men in the household. So, of course, sometimes when you're the youngest, the elder brothers will pick on you, especially when you're like 4 years old, 6 years old. So, one time, we were on a small bangka. My brother at that time was 12. And, of course, they can already swim. I just hate it when they start rocking the boat and try to scare you. And then they will try to put water inside the small bangka just to scare you. And true enough, because they keep doing that, we actually fell off the boat. I thought I was really gonna die. Good thing my dad is a good swimmer. And my point is this one. When Paul writes to the Ephesian church, when he says, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins," I want you to understand this. It doesn't mean that you were drowning. The point here is not you were drowning. What I'm saying is this one. When you're drowning, you have the ability still to at least kick yourself out of the water from time to time. When you're drowning, you're struggling. Water gets in your mouth, water gets in your nose, and you hate it. But you're drowning. Meaning to say, you are not dead. So there's a difference between drowning and being dead. What Paul is telling us here is that, "And we were dead in our trespasses." Meaning to say, we were lifeless, spiritually lifeless, when it comes to the things of God. So every time you hear, every time you read this verse right here, Ephesians chapter 1, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins, I want you to imagine a dead person who's actually submerged in water. Not kicking, pale, face is all white or violet maybe, cannot be salvaged by resuscitation and all of those things. And it says here, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins. Now, let me say something for a while. A man in the hospital is far different from a man in the funeral parlor. When Paul says we were dead in our trespasses, his image was not of that in the person in the hospital. Why? Because a man in the hospital is in need of a doctor, and that sick person or ill person can still be saved. Whereas, if you have a man in the funeral parlor, that is a different story. In the hospital, when someone flatlines and dies and they start opening their eyes again, everyone rejoices. In the funeral parlor, when someone opens their eyes, everyone runs. You get a picture? So when Paul says we were dead, it's simply saying that we are dead as dead. Dead is dead in a sense. Now, of course, what we're talking about here is our spiritual death. When Paul says we are dead in our trespasses and sins, I want us to understand that there's a universal principle that applies to everyone. And it is very simple. I want you to put this in your mind. Sin equals death. For the wages of sin, Bible teaches us, is death. Wages is not free gift. Wages is something that you earn. For those of you who's working here, you know what I'm talking about. 15th, 30th. If your boss, your employer doesn't give you what you deserve, on the 15th or 30th, you go to Department of Labor and Employment and make complaints about your employers. So the Bible teaches us that your sueldo, if you have sinned, not even sins, is death. So, because of that, I think it's safe for me to assume that all of us here in this room have sinned at one point in our life. I want to see a show of hands. Some of you can honestly say that you are a sinner. The book of Romans teaches us that for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So, when you are spiritually dead, there's nothing you can do to please God. If you're spiritually dead, there's nothing you can do to honor God or actually perceive the things of God for your life. Why? Because you are dead. You're just like an inanimate object or a matter that occupies space and have mass. Other than that, you are nothing. We are nothing. That is the sad and the bad news for every single one of us. Let me proceed. Look at this one. Let me just further establish this. What are some Bible verses? I just have three out of the so many that state our deadness. Look at this one. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, it says here, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. So it says here, the natural person. So the natural person talks about every single person out there who doesn't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So that is why the Bible says that the cross has a message, amen? For the message of the cross is foolishness, filth, garbage to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the very power of God. It further says here, Romans chapter 3, verses 9 to 10, for we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin, as it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside together. They have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. To make that a little more relevant for every single one of us, Roma 3 Gs, walay bisan kinsang matarong, bisan usalamang. The verdict is, we are dead in trespasses and sins. We are all in this together. So, what I want to look into here today, quickly, other than talking about that or establishing the fact that we are all spiritually dead or were spiritually dead, is the precedent to that. Verse 2 talks about external factors, and verse 3, to a certain extent, are the internal factors to that. Let's look at verse 2 for a while. Look at this one. It says here, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins, in verse 2, in which you once walked following the course of this world. Verse 2 covers some of the external factors that contributes to our deadness. One is the course of this world. Here's the thing. The thing with dead people underwater is they're not able to swim. Because they're not able to swim, they just go with the flow. So meaning to say, if someone drowns and dies at the Bolivar, he or she is at the mercy of the undercurrent and he might end up in Darwin or in Apo Island. So what Paul is teaching every single one of us here is, because we are dead, we follow the course of this world. Friends, the world has its own system. And the system that is running in the world is contrary to the biblical system that we understand at which God would want to be propagated in this world through discipleship. If you're here and you are a Christian and then you bring out your frustration on social media because of gay marriage, because of divorce bill, I'll tell you what, those things are good that it creates an uproar in you. But let me tell you something, what do you expect? So what it's teaching us here is that because we are dead, we just go with the flow. Wherever the current is, there we are. When it comes to crude jokes or jokes that doesn't honor God, there you are. When it comes to things that do not honor God, there you are. Why? Because you just go with the course of the world. Everyone's cheating, doesn't bother you a bit. Everyone's having sex, even if they're not married, totally fine with you. Why? Because you just follow the course of the world. The other thing here is that the other factor it says here is not just the course of the world, but it also says here that we were also following the prince of the power of the air. Now, I think there's a good reason why Paul said he was the prince of the power of the air. This is basically talking about Satan himself. Between heaven and earth is air. So it makes sense for him to say that this is the prince of the power of the air. Why? Because every single place that you go, there's air. So whether you are in the basement or in your room, in the comfort room, there's always a possibility of a demonic influence in our lives. Whether you open your laptop, even with your friends or on your own, whether you're driving your car, driving your motorcycle, we always have an influence surrounding us because of the prince of the power of air. The possibility of demonic influence is actually everywhere. It is the same thing that it says here, that a spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. What Paul is trying to tell us here is that when we start talking about your classrooms, when we start talking about your workplace, the devil has influenced us on all of those things. And because we are spiritually dead, we follow all of these things. But it says here, verse 3 tells us there's also an internal factor here, simply because it says here that from the very beginning, we were sons of disobedience. In fact, it says here, our very nature is that we are what? Children of wrath. Tell the person beside you, farewell, you are a child of wrath. Wrath, hindi rat. Among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh. You know what's crazier here? The crazy thing is that we have a world system and Satan playing these things all together. So he's looking at the passions of our flesh, and the devil relates to our passion. He crafts things to throw against every single one of us. But even without that external factor, I want you to understand that by nature, we are children of wrath. So at the end of the day, our main problem is ourselves. A lot of times, when crazy things happen in our lives, you always blame the devil. Like, kakawa naman minsan yung devil. Minsan lagi siyang may kasalanan. But when it comes to our spiritual deadness, I want you to understand that by our very nature, since we have Adam and Eve as our parents, we are sinful to the core. Amen. I don't know if you've ever broken a glass or a wine glass. I don't know why, maybe out of clumsiness or what. But here's the fact. If you break a glass, if that glass is you, first thing I want us to understand is, we're all broken. It's just that we're broken differently. You try to pick those things, and you realize they're shaped differently. first thing that has to be established is this one, we are all broken. Alam niyo po ang difference? Yung issue niyo, iba lang po sa issue ko. Pero pare-pareho po tayong may issue. Probably your brokenness or your sinfulness is manifested through you having the inclination to gossip always. Or probably, your brokenness is lust. You just can't help it. You're a slave to pornography. Or probably your brokenness is homosexuality or confusion in your identity. At the end of the day, we are all broken. We're just broken differently. I have to say that because at the end of the day, I want us to understand, like what I said, we're all in this together. We don't have the right to judge other people. Just because your sins are more evident doesn't make me more righteous than you are. I want you to understand this. If you get to hear this on TV, you watch the news or you watch people who rape a 5-year-old girl or a man who killed his mother or you stole this thing. You've heard about news of riding in tandem. Tapos ang lalaki ng katawan, ayaw na lang magtrabaho. I'll be honest with you, sometimes it makes me angry. Man, you deserve to be in jail. You deserve to rot in jail. Where's capital punishment in the Philippines? But I want you to understand this. Look at this one. Friends, if not for God's grace, you can be that person. If not for God's grace in my life, I am that person. It's a scary thing. That's why I want you to understand the course of this world leads to one thing, and that is hell. And in hell is unbridled sin. In hell, God's grace is not present. It's full blown when it comes to sin. Don't you ever think that there is remorse in hell, that there is repentance in hell? There's no such thing as remorse or repentance in hell amidst the torture. Why? It's a full blown sin, unbridled sin, where God's grace has been lifted up. We thank God for His grace in my life. We thank God for God's grace in our life. Because if not for God's grace, I don't know kung saan po tayo pupulutin. That is the bad news that we have to understand here. That we are all dead in our sins, dead in our trespasses. You folks want to listen to the good news or we'll end here? Friends, here's the good news. It says here, but God, Lord, thank you. But God, aren't you glad God did something? Aren't you glad that we have a God who have this kind of thinking? Okay, Jolu, you made a mess. Kiko, you made a mess. Adonis, you made a mess. Brian, Blaze, you made a mess. It breaks my heart, guys. I get so tired because you're doing this again and again and again. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to wipe you all away. I'm going to create a new group of people who's going to worship me and love me. God didn't do that. Bible teaches us what? He dirtied himself. Did the dirty job. Died on the cross. But God. Bible says, being rich in mercy. I thank God that God's wealth is His love. I thank God that His wealth is His mercy for every single one of us. That even as a believer who keeps sinning again and again and again, we look into God's grace, we look into God's mercy, and thank God, Lord, thank you that I still have the opportunity, God, to worship you for who you are. But God, being rich in mercy, it says here, because of the great love with which He loved every single one of us. If you're here today and you aren't sure as to whether God loves you or not, I tell you what, the very fact that you're here today, the very fact that someone invited you here is actually a message of God's love for every single one of us. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, look at this one, He made us alive. Come on now. You know what it means to be alive? It simply means that every time I read my Bible, for some reason, now it makes sense.
For some reason, I can worship God for who He is. For some reason, I perceive the things of God. For some reason, I am preserved. Made alive in Christ. But God is the plot twist. The clincher here is in Christ. I was telling the Victory Weekend group last Friday when we started talking about the cross. I told them, you know, I was born in a place of Muammar Gaddafi in Benghazi, Libya. My two other brothers were baptized Muslim, Rasul and Ramadan. They changed their names. My father didn't change my name. I don't know why. My dad is a Chinese Muslim. My mom is from the Iglesia ni Cristo. We attended a Jesuit Catholic school. I got into all of these things. I became a Christian when I was in Dumaguete. I realized one thing. Nothing compares to the Lord Jesus Christ. No one ever in this world had the audacity to say that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Wild claim, because it's a real claim. It's a true claim for that matter. It says here, and by grace you have been saved. It says here, and raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 1 teaches us every spiritual blessing under heaven belongs to every single one of us. So that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Look at this one. If we were dead in our trespasses, I think we lose the ability to make pa-cute. We lose the ability to merit anything. Why? Because you're dead. Now, here's what I want us to understand. When God did all of these things, what was the reason behind it? Of course, we understand it's because of His love. Look at this one. The story of Lazarus. Did Lazarus initiate something? No. It was Jesus who initiated His resurrection. There was nothing good about Lazarus other than the fact that they were friends. It's the very fact that he was dead. It was Jesus who went, walked towards his tombs and told Lazarus, come out. And I tell you what, your salvation has been initiated by the Lord Jesus Christ. Siya po nag-initiate niyan para sa isa't isa. For every single one of us. That's why I want you to appreciate the fact, be grateful for God for the fact, and live as if you're grateful that out of the billions of people out there, God has called you to worship Him. At this point of your life, live a life that pleases God. Live a life that honors God. Then it says here, for by grace you have been saved through faith. Thank God for His grace, amen? For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Look at this one. Not as a result of works. You know what fake news is? When people start telling you that you can appease your relationship with God through good works. That is the fakest of all news. You can never earn your salvation. You can never be saved if God has not initiated it in your life. Not as a result of works so that no one may boast. Let me just vary this verse. Jeremiah chapter 13 verse 20, it says here, can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Then also you can do good who are accustomed to do evil. Meaning say, apart from Christ, there's nothing good in us. There's nothing good that we can do that can actually honor God. Simple application to this one is this one. Love God with all of your life, with everything that you have, because He was rich in mercy towards every single one of us.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.